welcome to Hype episode 53. I'm Andrew, not Selena. Selena is not here this week. She is in a remote vacation home or something. But she's off from Hype and Hypeable for the week. But Pamela, Marima, and I are here. Hello, ladies.
Hey.
Hi.
I like that you clarified that you weren't Selena.
Well, I didn't want anybody to be confused.
Yeah, you do sound very similar.
Yes. Well, people think you and I sound similar, Marima. So
really?
I guess.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not Australian.
Yeah, Marima, I'm pretty sure I'm not American.
You just got to turn up the Australian accent to help, you know.
I don't believe I have an accent. So.
Oh, you do. You do.
You have an accent.
Just you're a citizen of the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Even.
Yeah. So international.
Yeah. So we got some good news stories to talk about this week, but first it's time for How We Hype, where we're going to be talking about what we've been up to for the past week. Something that I think the entire world has been up to over the past week is Jurassic World. Pam, that was on your to-do list, I guess, today or yesterday?
No, I actually, because I always feel so much pressure, you know, to make sure I have something to talk about. I actually saw it today, but just because I had a friend in town. Mm-hmm. And so we just weren't around to do a lot of this fandom-like stuff. So, yeah, I went to see Jurassic World today. I had a little bit of a gap in my day, and I really enjoyed it. I specifically enjoyed all the nods to the original movies. Yeah. Like, I'm not as big of a fan as some of the people that work on Hypeable, but I definitely remember enjoying those movies as a kid with my brothers and sisters. And so it was really cool to see just everything from like the little DNA man
yes.
at the park to the, well, I don't want to give anything else away, but you know what I'm talking about since clearly you've seen it, right?
Yeah. I saw Jurassic Park. I rewatched it right before seeing Jurassic World, and I'm really glad I did so I can pick up on things like that DNA man. I think that's something I would have forgotten if I didn't do my rewatch. So yeah, there was that. And then in the middle of the movie, they go back to a certain location that we saw in Jurassic Park.
Oh my gosh.
Because this,
yes.
because the Jurassic World is set on Isla Nublar, just like Jurassic Park was. So they can do that. And it was just wonderful for Jurassic Park fans. And, I loved the ending, which I won't spoil in case you haven't seen it yet. Marima, have you seen it?
No.
No, oh, not out there yet?
Yes, it's out here.
Oh, well, then why haven't you seen it?
Because I was going to, and then I heard the lady in it is kind of bad, and then some other stuff happens, and I thought I don't have any inclination to see this anymore.
No.
It's funny you mention that because we got a Twitter comment about this, and I'm sorry, I didn't write down your name, but I know that you just tweeted us and said that you didn't understand what was wrong with being feminine. And so I'm not really sure. I think I'm going to have to go back and read about why people were unhappy with Bryce Dallas Howard, but I didn't really have a problem with her. I thought she was, she's strong. She steps up to the plate when she needs to. And the heels and the dress thing, like, don't really bother me, but I think it's just because I like to.
Oh,
yeah.
That was not a thing. I think what people were talking about was like this idea of her being this, like, scientist person who needs to be taught to feel by like the love interest by the dude.
Oh.
I'll go and see it, but it's just not.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Mad Max, so I gotta see that first.
To be honest with you, I didn't take that away. I think if anything, because the thing is I think what people forget when they make these arguments is that women like that don't want kids, for example, do exist. You know, and women that are career oriented do exist in real life. So I don't know. I think even as a woman, that has never really bothered me because I feel like if you watch a variety of movies, like it's not just the same character being portrayed every time.
Yeah.
And you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's just my opinion. I thought I was going to be more centered around that. And I was just really surprised by how little I took away from that when I was watching her on screen. So that's just my opinion, though. If you walked away with something else, that's fine.
A lot of people complaining about the heels thing because it's saying, oh, she has to be why does she have to be running around in heels the entire movie? Why couldn't she have taken them off like at the very beginning? But I mean, to me, it showed, you know, she can kick ass while still in heels. Like, Come on.
She's a badass. Come yeah. on. If I could kick ass in 5-inch heels and an awesome dress, like, I would do it.
Right.
Why
and
not?
By the
I
end
feel
of
like
the
that
movie,
would add to.
By the end of the movie, she basically, you know, takes off parts of her dress. So she's in, like, you know, kind of work mode, work gear. And, or at least the best version while wearing that dress. Whatever. Anyway, it was a good movie. It made all the money in the world. It's the first movie to make $500 million in its opening weekend. It's the highest grossing movie, over an opening weekend domestically and internationally. It's just absolutely huge. So that's what's going on with Pam. Marima, what's your Howie hype of the week?
Well, I went to a Game of Thrones party this week for the finale, which was fun. And people who listen to Hype may know I haven't really been keeping up with Game of Thrones. So I watched like 5 episodes in a row. Mm-hmm. And that was intense, but I think we'll talk about that a little bit later. And then I was reading this Hannibal book that just came out. It's like a making of book, a behind the scenes book for Hannibal, which has just come back on NBC, which I'm also a big fan of, although I still haven't seen this season because I'm behind on the last season, but the book is really good. I definitely recommend for any Hannibal fans. I put a picture of it on our Instagram, which is Hypeable Hype, if people are interested in seeing like kind of how it's set out. And it has like just so many, you know, you get those behind the scenes books and they just have a whole lot of like promotional stills and a couple quotes from actors and that's it. And you yeah. think, why did I spend $30 on this?
Yeah.
But this has so much information. It's basically one giant interview with Brian Fuller, who's the showrunner on Hannibal. So if you're into those like behind the scenes details, and it's just really beautiful, cool. I definitely recommend.
And I've been watching Orange is the New Black over the past week. This is of course the Netflix series by Jenji Cohen. It's the third season. It came out last Thursday, actually. They surprised people. Normally, Netflix shows are released at 12:01 a.m. Pacific Friday morning, and basically when nobody is awake. And they do this for a couple reasons. It's so that everybody doesn't tune in at once and break Netflix's servers. I think it's also because they just want to do it at the start of a brand new day. But anyway, they held this thing called Orange Con on Thursday in New York. It was like an Orange is the New Black fan conference. And they announced at this conference, at the end of it, they were like, oh, by the way, surprise, Orange is the New Black season 3 is now available for everybody. So everybody ran home, or everybody jumped on Netflix really quick if you already were home, like in my case on Thursday night. And all the episodes were there, which was really cool because, I mean, if you had nothing to do Thursday night and you were an Orange is the New Black fan, this was a really great surprise. I was really thrilled that they released these episodes early. And I'm 7 episodes in. It's really good so far. There's 14 episodes. It's more of the same. That's what I keep telling everybody. If you've seen seasons 1 and seasons 2, you know what to expect. I actually just watched episode 7 earlier tonight, and it was probably one of the best of the season so far. And I read a review saying that the back half of the season is better than the front half. So things may get better from here. I'm going to reserve final judgment on this season once I finish. Do you ladies watch?
Please. Think about who you're talking to.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But have
yeah,
either of
really
you watched
season? I'm not as far in as you.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it at some point. Mm-hmm. I just, it's, you know what? It's really intimidating when you miss a series or two series or something, and then you have to catch up, and yeah. you're like, oh, I'm so far behind. What's even the point? This is what happened with Lost. You know, just all these huge shows. I go, oh, I've already missed season 1 and 2. Like, why bother? I'll watch it on the plane or something.
That's
It'll
not
be fine.
Too bad, though, compared to like The Good Wife. I've considered watching, but there's already 6 seasons, I think, at this
Same.
Point.
That's
I
the
think
worst.
For shows like that, I need to watch and like wait until they're finished and then yeah. catch up.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm kind of that way with Game of Thrones. I just started watching at the end of season 4. I watched season 5. I don't know what the hell is going on. But
I don't know how you managed to like just jump into that though, because I still have trouble keeping people straight sometimes, and I've been tuning in the whole
time. I have no clue who the characters are. If you asked me to name them, I couldn't do it.
So you're like the one crazy one with the thing.
Yeah. The one who had to lose all her hair. That woman. Yeah, I'm just very, very, very casually watching. So when everyone's tweeting about it the next day, I sort of know what they're talking about. Anyway, let's get on to news now. Actually, you know, we can kind of skip this one because I spoke about it during How We Hype. Jurassic World, highest grossing opening weekend in history. And like I said, highest grossing opening U.S. and worldwide. What was I going to say about this? Oh, it beat The Avengers, which was really surprising. Estimates didn't even expect Jurassic World to make this much. Usually they can survey moviegoers to see how interested they are in seeing Jurassic World, and that's how they figure out how much money the movie's probably going to make. So the estimates came in low, and Jurassic World beat the original Avengers by a few million dollars. Were you guys shocked?
I saw Marvel like tweeted that congratulatory picture.
Yeah,
as well. That's cute.
Yeah, so Kevin Feige over at Marvel.
Feige.
Is it Feige?
Yeah.
Because that's how I've always pronounced it. And then one time I heard something else and... All right.
I'm sure it's... Yeah.
So it's Feige. I've interviewed him before.
Me too. I was just like, he's your
trainer. Kevin Feige over at Marvel, he sent out this artwork by one of the Marvel artists in-house, and it shows Chris Pratt on top of a T-Rex looking down at the Avengers. And the T-Rex has Thor's hammer, and it says, you know, congrats on a something, if you're the king of the box office or something like that. And that was from Marvel to Universal, so it was just a nice gesture showing some friendliness.
Yeah, I think if you had asked me before if this would have made this much money, I would have said definitely no. But now that it has, it makes sense, you know, because there was so much anticipation for this new installment. Unlike Marvel, that's somewhat oversaturated. People have been waiting a really long time for another Jurassic something or other. Plus, it's got the Chris Pratt factor, and he's like so hot right now, you know. So, you know, people were genuinely excited about it. Makes sense.
It'll be interesting to see what comes next. Obviously, they're going to do another Jurassic World, but are they going to go the Marvel route or the Justice League loop where they launch a whole cinematic universe? I mean, we heard there's now a Ghostbusters cinematic universe in development. The hot thing right now for studios is to create huge franchises, not just sequels, but spinoffs like Star Wars, doing these anthology films. Do you think that's next?
How will that work for this, though?
I don't know.
There's not enough. I haven't seen Jurassic World, but there isn't really enough depth in these films. Like, they're meant to be fun.
Right.
So I feel like classic kind of sequels work better.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because after watching it today, I was kind of wondering how they're going to continue the story, because I mean, the movie is enjoyable, especially if you're a fan of Jurassic Park as a whole. But even the second film, they all kind of follow the same recipe for the humans come to the island, dinosaurs get loose, humans must figure out how to solve the problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I guess the question is,
how much longer can they do that?
And can the park be open again in the sequel? I mean, that's what I would want, but that doesn't really make sense.
Maybe they'd have to do a Jurassic Park prequel, you know?
Go deep into
the genetics and cloning and watching dinosaurs in a test tube.
There's an article on Hyperbole with like Jurassic World 2.
Yes.
Someone wrote.
John wrote up an article. He's a huge Jurassic Park fan, so he came up with 5 potential plot lines for the sequel. They're over my head, like having watched the movie. Like he's a super Jurassic Park fan. So
they're all talking about like genetics and stuff. Yeah. So definitely check that out if you're better fans than we are.
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit of sad news. We found out this week that Sir Christopher Lee, who, of course, famous for starring in Dracula, and he was just recently in the Hobbit films, passed away. He was 93. He's been in approximately 12 million films, or at least over 200. And just very sad for everyone. And weird, because like he was filming very recently. Still, and there were some really nice tributes from especially the people who were involved in the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit films, because I guess he was had a relationship with them for a long time.
Yeah, it's always nice to see Hollywood share some nice words about people that they've worked with. Ian McKellen's especially, he had a really good story about meeting Christopher Lee on the Lord of the Rings set for the first time.
Yeah, and Christopher Lee's like, I thought I would always play Gandalf.
Yeah.
Ian McKellen's, well, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some really nice ones.
So rest in peace, Sir Christopher Lee. In some other news, Universal, who, mind you, just made all the money in the world with Jurassic World, has announced Pitch Perfect 3 is official. It's going to be entering theaters July 2017. Anna Kendrick and Rebel Wilson will star. So Anna Kendrick and Rebel Wilson have obviously been the stars of the other two movies. The second one, I really thought Rebel Wilson carried that. It was so good, thanks to her, I thought.
Yeah, talk about films that follow a formula. The second movie is basically the same as the first. Still really enjoyable. But
yeah, I'm glad you say that, because I've seen a lot of people complaining about this series. Like,
I feel those people set the bar too high for themselves in their head. You always go in with the lowest expectations possible, and then your mind is blown. That's been my MO for the past couple of years.
Well, I even went in with like pretty high expectations because I really liked the first one. And I thought the second one was, it's the same kind of movie. They're not like groundbreaking movies, but they're fun and they're really funny. And I thought Elizabeth Banks did a great job. So I would be interested if she came back for number 3 to direct.
Yeah, I think the complaints kind of stem from like, okay, look, we did it once. Do we really need multiple Pitch Perfect films?
Well, why not? They're not any worse than any other sequels that we have.
That's true.
You know, let's compare. Maybe it's not as good as the first Pitch Perfect, but, you know, they're not terrible.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun watching a Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah. So what's going to happen in the third one? Like, they come back Glee style to teach the new people?
Maybe.
I was going to say, how much like bigger can you get from like a world competition? You'd have to go intergalactic. You know?
Oh, maybe that's a little transition.
That's a little too Space Jam. That's true. Look at that. I transitioned myself. I didn't even realize it. So speaking of intergalactic, awesome. Star Wars Rogue One has added another superstar cast member to their lineup, and Forest Whitaker will be supposedly joining the franchise. He's in deep talks right now, which usually means that he's all but signed the contract. And as with everything else Star Wars related, it's being kept very tightly under wraps. So what we do know is that Rogue One is going to be set between episodes 3 and 4 and will consist of a band of resistance fighters uniting for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans in the Star Wars anthology film. So I don't know. I mean, if you're a big Star Wars fan, this sounds really cool to me, but I also grew up watching the movies. So it's like, I'm definitely interested to see what comes of this. And I know they're going to be at Comic-Con this year, so I'm assuming that we'll be getting a lot more awesome information soon.
Yeah, I think they're holding off.
Yeah, well,
either for Comic-Con or D3, right? Or D23?
Star Wars is going to be at Comic-Con, so even though Marvel is not, you know, Disney.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think, we've had a little bit of information from them, but it hasn't been much. I would imagine that they'll show something or, like, do something reasonably large at Comic-Con. But this is really good casting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Arguably, as I wrote in the article, the biggest actor in this project so far.
Yeah. It has a really solid cast, though. Like,
Yeah. Felicity Jones, I mean, of course, was in The Theory of Everything, but she's definitely one to watch. I think that if this doesn't break her out, the next film she is definitely will. But yeah, it's just a solid casting choice for sure in all these films. And I mean, with that alone, they're bound to be good unless they mess up the screenplay, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Marima, you got some other casting news?
Yeah, I was just about to say it, but that's fine.
Hey, I'm hosting.
Okay. All right. This is what happens when Andrew comes back.
I'm focused.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we had some more casting for the Fantastic Beasts movie, which I remain so excited about, you guys. A little smaller than Forest Whitaker. Catherine Waterston is going to be playing Tina. We had some like potential cast. She was on the list. We had, I think, like Saoirse Ronan and some other people were on the list, but she's confirmed. J.K. Rowling has confirmed it, so that means it's the gospel. She was in Inherent Vice, which is probably what most people would know her from if they have seen her, and she was really great in that. So that's, I don't know, that's exciting, I guess. Tina is, have they confirmed that this is Newt's wife? Like, yes. We're all assuming that it is.
No, it is. It's
yeah,
sure.
So well, they're so, going to meet in New York, and as he like arrives to travel and find his various creatures. So I guess we get their meet cute and their like origin story, which will be adorable, maybe.
Yeah. So we actually knew that Newt's wife was named Porpoise before this movie even came up. And then when the name Tina started showing up in casting info, one of our readers actually was one of the people to connect the dots to suggest, oh, well, Tina's probably short for Porpoise, if that's how you pronounce the name. I'm Porpeetina. And then J.K. Rowling confirmed it on Twitter. But yeah, exactly. It'll be nice to see the origin story of their relationship. And considering there's going to be at least three films, we're probably going to see their wedding too, which I think would be really sweet.
Yeah. And she's going to be an American witch. So that will be fun to like see a kind of different cultural side of the magic, I guess. Yeah. And a lot of other people are also really excited that they are similar in age, that her and Eddie Redmayne are both like mid 30s or early 30s. So it's a slightly different portrayal than, you know, young kids, which I think people were a little worried about. It's just, I don't know. A different, maybe like more adult. Is it going to be? Yeah, the R-rated Fantastic Beast. But yeah.
And presumably, if she's an American wizard, it means she went to the American Wizarding School. So.
Right. So that's how we'll find out about it, yeah. I would assume.
Woohoo!
I'm so excited for this.
Me too. Moving on.
So, yes, we've got some more casting news for you guys. This time it's Disney related. So Disney Pixar's The Good Dinosaur has announced its all new voice cast, which is very interesting because they had a lot of bigger names the first time around. Originally, they had stated that Neil Patrick Harris, Bill Hader, and John Lithgow were going to somehow be involved in the project. And now they've pretty much just released a slew of brand new voice actors to partake in this movie. So some of the bigger ones are Jeffrey Wright, who of course played Beatty in The Hunger Games, and then we've got Anna Paquin from HBO's True Blood, and also Frances McDormand from Olive Kittredge and Fargo, and then Marcus Scribner from ABC's Blackish. So if you want all the details on, you know, these people that are going to be voicing some of the characters, definitely head on over to Hypeable to read more. But what do you guys think about this? I mean, it's got to be a scheduling thing, right? They just maybe couldn't get some of these bigger stars because a lot of these are kind of like, you know, not as big names as what they had the first time around, which I don't think it'll break the movie, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's been well documented that this movie has had some real trouble. And I was actually just reading an article today about the development because the Good Dinosaur director is now doing some promo overseas, and he was giving some info on how they had to change up the story, how the story really just fell apart and they were stuck, and John Lasseter just said, okay, we gotta really redo this. And we have to wait till November to see how this film turned out, but I think everybody's gonna be keeping a very close eye on it, because we'll see if they saved this or if this is another Brave or something.
I'm curious, do you guys think it matters? Like, do you think a big name star really matters in if you can't see their face,
no,
you know, just as like a voice casting? Because I personally feel like it doesn't, I don't pay attention to
it
that.
It makes no difference to me, really.
Yeah.
Unless for an original movie. But I mean,
right.
Like for Toy Story 4, I really need to see Woody Allen. And
Colin
no, not
Hanks.
Woody Allen. Oh
I mean,
God.
Not Colin. Tom
what
Hanks.
You saying?
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks.
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen and Tom Hanks.
Confusing wow. characters and actors. Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, all these guys need to see them in their roles because they've become attached to those roles. But in terms of when the first movie in a series, nah.
Yeah.
I just think about it as like, you know, kids, well, obviously kids are the target demographic, but like if kids can enjoy a movie that and they maybe don't realize who's voicing it until like later on in life, then I'm sure adults will be just fine. On the bright side, the trailer looks really like ominously adorable. So I definitely enjoyed that when it came out a couple weeks ago.
The premise is, what if the meteorite that wiped out all the dinosaurs missed the Earth? And I was reading again in this article today that they had this great premise the whole time, but they didn't know what to do with it. So it's a boy and a dinosaur sort of coming of age story. That's the impression I'm getting right now. And it sounds good. So
it sounds
I
cute.
Can't. Also, they must be feeling really good right now considering the success of the good Jurassic World. This dino fever is surely going to benefit them.
For sure. That, this is actually part of the Jurassic World cinematic universe. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah, Universal's going to use all that money to buy the good dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly.
Jurassic
gonna
World.
Buy up everything.
The good dino.
This is the prequel.
Yeah. So in some other Disney news, there is a Maleficent sequel now in the works. Deadline reported this earlier this week, and Angelina Jolie is not committed to this yet. They're only just getting to work on the screenplay right now, but Deadline says that Jolie is being kept, quote-unquote, in the loop, and the sequel will be written for her to reprise. So sounds like they're doing this with the intention of her coming back. I don't know. I liked Maleficent. Did you guys?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. But I think that's because I didn't care about Sleeping Beauty. Like, the people who didn't like the film seemed to be the people who really, really liked the animated film.
Yeah.
That's really funny, you know? Because Sleeping Beauty is my favorite Disney classic.
Mm.
And I liked Maleficent, and I went to see it specifically because of the tie-in to Sleeping Beauty. I thought it was really well done. I mean, I just don't really know how they're going to jump onto Maleficent 2 after, again, the way the first one ended. Like, I felt like it was a satisfactory ending to her story, and it was a happily ever after for sure. So, again, this is one of those things that I think we'll have to wait and get more information on before we can really make any sort of judgment on whether or not this is a good idea.
I just really love the fact that they did that twist at the end. It was just refreshing to get that little surprise. I still remember sitting in the theater at the moment of the twist, and there was gasps in the audience.
Really?
Just, yeah.
Oh, I went to a screening where everyone was laughing because they thought the movie was ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
I was with normal moviegoers. You were with critics, so I guess it's different
that's
different than that.
Yeah.
The critics are more critical than moments like that.
Yeah, there were like snorts of derision in the cinema. I remember
this. Oh, wow. tough crowd.
Yeah.
So no date or anything for that yet, but it's interesting because ever since Maleficent, Disney has been working on these live action retellings, and now they're entering a new phase, which is live action retelling sequels. So.
Just, it's a good thing Selena's not on this episode because she would be ripping her hair out.
All right, moving along.
Yeah, well, this next news story was definitely a crowd pleaser when it was announced. Chris Hemsworth is joining the upcoming Ghostbusters film. And in keeping with this gender bending idea that Paul Feige has for the movie, he will be playing the receptionist at Ghostbusters headquarters, which was originally played by actress Annie Potts in the 80s version of the film. So he'll be joining the likes of Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon as the main Ghostbusters. And then SNL's Cecily Strong is also rumored to have been cast, but we don't know what she'll be doing in the film. So this is going to be really cute, I think. And it'll be interesting to see what Hemsworth brings to this, because he's not necessarily going to be the hero in this one. And I think we've gotten so used to seeing him in that hero role. So
yeah, he's kind of rebooting himself. He's also in the new movie Vacation later this year. This is the sort of remake, sort of sequel to the Chevy Chase Vacation movie.
That's right.
Yeah, he's got the giant dick and
in the trailer. So he's just going all 80s, right? That's his MO.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Vacation, by the way, comes out July 29th of this year. So yeah, maybe he's just trying to get more roles in comedy films, which is
That's actually really smart, because he can't play Thor forever, and I'm sure he doesn't want to be typecast as just because of his size. I mean, you know.
So, the size of his dick, or
yes,
that's exactly what it is.
Exactly, that's all that matters in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, yep.
It's very superficial. I'm genuinely excited for this Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah,
it looks really fun. I'm furious that they're making a male version, but I'm very excited about the female.
We'll see if that happens. Well, yeah, I mentioned the cinematic universes earlier. That's another one. Ghostbusters. They're trying to make a cinematic universe out of it.
Yeah, I can't even talk about it. It just makes me so, so mad. But this looks great. And I really hope Cecily Strong, I didn't know she was like rumored to be involved, but I really like her. So
she's great.
That'd be good. Yeah, she did the Correspondence Dinner this year and she was very funny. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. Okay. A little bit of fun news. We spoke this week on Hyperbole with the creator of this We Want Widow campaign. It's a hashtag thing. You got to be on Twitter, which is a campaign for a Black Widow movie, which is very exciting. I am sad that I didn't think about this, but I will totally get on board with it. So we have a fun interview with her over on Hyperbole, but basically it's about trying to get the word out that so many fans would like to see this movie because, you know, the general argument is, well, if Marvel thought it would make money, then they would make the movie. But it seems like it would make money because basically everyone wants to see it. And yet they refuse to make it. So it's obviously not going to change anything, because we all know that they only change the Marvel phases up if they acquire the rights to Spider-Man and need to squeeze in a Spider-Man movie. But it's nice anyway for them to, nice to see everyone getting.
The position could help.
I would love it if it happened, but I've been burnt before. True. So, yeah, it's a tough life being a Black Widow fan.
Yeah, it's cool. And I'm glad we did this, because I think this is the type of stuff Hyperbole should be doing, like talking with these people who are doing these types of campaigns. I've heard from people who have tried to do campaigns like this before, but this is a big one.
Oh, yeah. And they had like flash mobs and stuff, and it was this whole thing. And
yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be at Comic-Con next month, we can help you campaign for a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, we just decided on the designs and then this campaign came out. I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
We missed the boat.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Our buttons are just as cool.
Yeah. Well, that one was my brainchild, so you have to say that.
Oh, well, then it was just okay. little J.K. Rowling news. We know she is Robert Galbraith. Now she has announced the third book by Robert Galbraith. This is another Cormorant Strike novel. It's titled Career of Evil, and it's going to be published October 22nd. Have you guys read the Cormorant Strike books?
Yeah. I've reviewed both of them behind the wall.
You haven't read either, Pam?
No.
Oh, you got to get with
it. I'm a terrible J.K. Rowling fan. I just, you know, I didn't really care for the casual vacancy, so I've just put everything off. This is, but I heard these are really good.
Forget.
I know.
The casual vacancy, very different book. I really, really like the first two books, The Cuckoo's Calling and The Silkworm. And I'm very excited for Career of Evil. Are you, Mirma?
Yeah, I think for me, The Silkworm was, The Cuckoo's Calling was good and The Silkworm was a lot better. And this is interesting because the first two were kind of themed, like The Cuckoo's Calling was about, you know, the fame and whatever. And then the second one was about kind of the literary scene in London. And this one is going back more to the characters, which I think is a good move because it could have been a little trite for the third time to be like, and now this book is themed around, you know, whatever. This is themed around the movie industry or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Because it's like it's looking more into his past. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's good. I really like them. I think she's a great mystery writer, which we saw in Harry Potter. Like we saw a lot of that in Harry Potter.
Right, which is why I'm so glad she's doing a bunch of these books. She said in an interview while promoting the second book, The Silkworm, that she plans to do more than seven of these Cormoran Strike books. So if you haven't read one of these, you really should if you're a J.K. Rowling fan. Forget the casual vacancy. Because J.K. Rowling's going to be writing these for a while, and potentially this may be all she's writing for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you got to get on board. You got to get on board, or you won't have anything except her Twitter feed. We'll wait until that's compiled into a book.
They also shared the covers. I just love how they just say Robert Galbraith.
Yeah.
No mention of J.K. Rowling.
I love how J.K. Rowling tweets for him. I love their split personality conversations. They're so fun.
J.K. Rowling is a blast on Twitter. It's a lot of fun to read.
She's having a good time.
Now we got some other book to film news.
Yeah, moving on from one author to another, the soundtrack for John Green's upcoming adaptation of Paper Sounds has been revealed. Did I say Paper Town?
You said Paper Sounds.
That should be the name
Paper
of the soundtrack.
I'm just, you know, I'm so excited about the sounds of these tracks that I just am one track minded. Paper Towns, the soundtrack has been revealed and it just looks really good. I was looking through this earlier today. The cool thing is that if you're excited about this soundtrack, you can actually listen to a lot of these songs right now, because some of them are just songs that they've taken from artists. Like, for example, like Haim's Falling is a track that was available on their debut album and stuff like that. So if you're interested in this, definitely take a search, you know, do a little search and see which ones have been released. But then there's some other really good stuff on here, like Santi Gold's got a song that'll be coming out for this. And of course, John Green's favorite band is on this soundtrack. The Mountain Goats will be contributing Used to Haunt to this. And then Nat Wolff, who actually stars in the movie, and his brother will be contributing the song Look Outside. So if you're a music fan, especially of like indie type stuff, then you'll definitely want to check this out when it comes out. I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to look at this, but I'm definitely excited to have it all in one place.
I'm looking right now. It looks great. Yeah. These are excellent artists. The Fault in Our Stars soundtrack was also really, really good. Even if you didn't like the movie, the soundtrack was great.
Yeah.
So John Green, they've got that down.
Yeah, I feel like over the past few years, maybe starting with the Twilight soundtracks, they've just taken really good care in making great soundtracks, I guess because they can sell really well if you put together a great lineup. So I've, over the past few years, I've really looked forward to checking out the soundtracks for young adult films because I think they really try to nail it. And in most cases, they get it right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love... I was going to say, I just love the use of indie artists to represent these YA book to film adaptations, because I feel like that's the kind of stuff that you're listening to and discovering while you're trying to discover your own path in life at the age that these characters are. So it's just all around really great. And it's great for these artists too, like some of them that maybe have the exposure that they should. Mm-hmm. It's awesome to see them on a mainstream album like this, along with some other great acts. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they, like Charlie XCX, her song from the Fault in Our Stars soundtrack, that went off like crazy. So yeah, it's a great score for them to get on these soundtrack lists.
Yeah.
It's good all around. Okay, finishing up today with a little bit of rumor news because I just demanded that we talk about it. Apparently, there is a rumor going around from a sometimes reputable source that the Princess Diaries 3 movie is in the works at Disney. So this is exciting for many reasons because obviously Princess Diaries movies were pieces of cinematic art and fantastic. Oh. No, they're so bad, but they're so fun. But also because it does have a little bit of credibility because they are talking about it as if it's kind of a reboot of it, like a sort of reboot. And the reason that that could be true is because there was actually just released a new book from the Princess Diaries author, Meg Cabot, which is From the Notebook of a Middle School Princess, which is about Princess Mia from the books and the films who Anne Hathaway played, finding out that she has a like half sister who she didn't know about, who's a younger girl because it's kind of a middle grade book. And the, you know, it's written from the sister's perspective and, you know, she has her own diary and I think she's like 12 or 13 and, you know, dealing with that and finding out she's a princess. So you kind of get the whole dealing with royals and et cetera for the first time again, like we got in the first film.
This is the book coming out or one that's out already?
Okay. It just came out. It came out like a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, in my article, I don't know if you've read it yet, but that's what I was speculating would happen, that
yeah.
another heir is discovered and then they come over. And then that way, Anne Hathaway would only have to be in one more movie and then whoever they select as the new heir.
Yeah, I was going to say to you that you might want to rewrite this, but I was going to tell you when we finish recording.
But did I nail it?
You did nail it.
Yeah. But I should mention that book.
Yeah, you should probably mention the book that does exist.
Yeah.
I mean, the other way they could go is there's also been a kind of last sequel for Princess Diaries for Princess Mia, which just came out as well, called Royal Wedding, which is about her like planning her wedding. Although we saw that plot line already in the second film. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of difficult to know if they even have the rights to these because Meg Cabot was not like super thrilled with the films supposedly that were made because they were very, very different from the books.
No surprise.
You know what, though? Hold on though, because I feel like Meg Cabot has no room to talk. Every movie that has ever, or TV show for that matter, that has ever been based on her books has always been vastly different. And I feel like she could have more control over it if she wanted to. So
oh, yeah.
I'm just going to put that out there because like the 1-800 Where Are You series was originally, well, it was a show on Lifetime, vastly different from the book because she didn't want to, you know, handle the production aspect of that. Avalon High was made into a Disney Channel original movie. That was just completely far off from the film, from the book. And that was even after The Princess Diaries. So if she wasn't happy with Disney's portrayal of Princess Diaries, I'm just not sure why she would choose to go with them again. So I just kind of feel like she either needs to get more involved or she should just not even,
right,
you know, complain. Oh.
Yeah,
so that's all I'm going to say about that.
No, I totally agree with that. I just meant in terms of I wonder what the rights situation is for the new books.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
it's definitely. It's sometimes hard to know with like long series like this what they actually own the rights to. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. But everyone loves the Princess Diaries movies.
True. And I don't even care that it was different from the book because it was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were different, but I love them both. So it was fine. And Julie Andrews, and it was just great. So hopefully that is actually a thing that happens because I'm already too excited about a rumor.
Well, it'll be shaking up hypeable Tuesday morning, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So time now for our TV picks of the week. Pam, I kind of stepped on your feet earlier. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Orange is the New Black is going well. I think we're both enjoying it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going good. I'm enjoying it. I'm only 5 episodes in, though, so I'm kind of slowly savoring.
But are you enjoying it as much as you did the first 2 seasons?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more of the same, like you said. And I really actually, what I've been enjoying is kind of the backstory of some of these fringe characters. like, I think we got a lot of the main characters in the last two seasons, but then, like, we get, like, for example, like, Bennett's backstory is kind of exposed in one of the, yeah, you know, I first like few plot. Episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really have enjoyed seeing that. So, yeah, I'm excited to see where the rest of the season goes for sure.
And Marima, what's yours? Pick of the week.
Oh, well, like I mentioned at the top of the show, I watched the Game of Thrones finale this week, which was interesting because I haven't watched any of this season, but I have this group of friends who we always have like parties for the finale. So we had a party for the finale. I watched about 5 episodes of the show in a row. I don't want to spoil it in case people haven't seen it yet, but it was interesting. They have diverged a lot from the books. Let's just say that. And, yeah, it was kind of a, I don't know, I feel like the finale in a way was a little anticlimactic, maybe because there has been so much shock in this season already. Like, there have been so many things that are just, and then this happened, and you kind of get desensitized to it, although that could have been because I watched them all so quickly, one after the other.
I think that was your problem. My boyfriend was freaking out left and right during the season finale. Gasps well, and oh my gods and...
I had that, but I was, you know, I was watching with other people who hadn't done what I did. They didn't do the marathon and they were still like, oh, okay, is that, everyone was surprised and everyone was into it. But I think just compared to some of the other finales, it's hard for Game of Thrones because they set the bar for themselves so high.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, it was definitely shocking. And if you haven't seen it, definitely watch it ASAP, because you will not be able to stay away from the spoilers for much longer. If you have survived them this long, then I am very proud of you.
Don't take advantage of it. Watch now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since a lot of TV shows are off because of the summer, I don't really have anything else to recommend except for another Netflix show, Grace and Frankie, with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. I finished that.
Oh, it came is out that where they? Is that where their husbands are, like, they get together?
Yeah, they're gay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that funny? It looks really funny.
It's funny. Actually, it was surprisingly dark for the first few episodes. It slowly lightened up, but it was still pretty dark throughout because they struggled to cope with both of them losing their husbands in their later years. But yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it, and it's been renewed for season 2. Season 1 actually ended on a pretty surprising cliffhanger that I didn't expect. And now it makes perfect sense why they're getting season 2. So yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I might have to check that out on your Netflix account next month.
You should.
All right.
All right. Now it's time for Hot on Hypeable. This is the segment where we, ask you guys to check out some of our features.
Great intro. Yeah, okay. It's Game of Thrones theme this week, so I just wanted to point out a couple features that you could check out. If you have seen the finale, then we actually ran these all season, these like the top 5 moments from each episode. So you can check that out, and they like really beautiful. Harry did a great job with those. And then we also have 5 burning questions from the finale, which if you have seen it, you will probably have definitely more than 5 questions, but we've narrowed it down to 5. So you can check those out. If you haven't seen the finale yet, again, I'm not sure what you're doing because the internet is full of spoilers. But we have a fun quiz, as I keep mentioning. We do these personality quizzes on Hyperball now, which you can check out. And the Game of Thrones one for this week is which Sand Snake are you for all fans of Dawn? And let's be real, who isn't a fan of Dawn? Because Oberyn and et cetera are all amazing. And then keeping with the Dawnish theme, Ariana is just on this roll with Game of Thrones at the moment. Yeah. And she wrote another fantastic article looking at sort of the Martells and what could have been done better in terms of translating them to the show. So it's really worth reading, even if you're like Andrew, kind of casual fan, because it's an interesting look at adaptation and, you know, creative choices and et cetera. So I would definitely recommend that. And people have been really enjoying that on the site. And then because Game of Thrones is all about death and revenge, we have the 10 Game of Thrones characters who totally got what they deserved. And you need to have seen the finale before you read that article, because it wouldn't be a Game of Thrones finale if someone didn't get what they deserved. So, yeah.
We have a lot of great Game of Thrones stuff. And Karen and Danya actually just launched a new feature that they're going to be doing weekly called the Fandom Fix. And they each share a merchandise item related to a particular fandom that is super cool. So, for example, I'm looking at the Fandom Fix for today, June 17th. Danya has an Avatar-related item, and Karen's pick is a Harry Potter-related item. It's Veritaserum, a bottle of Veritaserum that you can buy for only $15. So they try to find things that are unique that you've probably never seen before. And I love this because these are things that you wouldn't expect. They're not like, oh, go buy a time turner. We've all seen those time turners a million times.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Veritaserum before. It's super cool stuff. So highly recommend checking this out.
Yeah, they've done like Game of Thrones shoes and a Black Widow bracelet and just a lot of fun stuff. So every week we will be showing you ways to spend your money, and you're welcome.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, moving on now to listener feedback. Pam, do you want to get the first one from Jewel?
Sure. Jewel says, regarding Civil War, it makes sense that S.H.I.E.L.D. is not the governing body because the government does not recognize S.H.I.E.L.D. as legitimate anymore. The actual U.S. government is probably the opposing side at this point.
If I was on last week's episode, I would have explained that to you guys. I can't believe you figured that out.
Naturally.
That's definitely a good point. But I think as the resident superhero fan, it's still a little surprising that Nick Fury is not going to be in it, because you would expect S.H.I.E.L.D. to have some input into I'm trying not to spoil this for you, to have some input into, I guess, identifying different people, if that makes sense. But yeah, definitely a good point.
And the next one piece of feedback comes from Tina. Another great episode. Selena, I gave you all a glowing review on iTunes just now. Love the show. Was hoping it would still be good after Andrew left, and you have done a fabulous job. All of the hosts are great. You keep things on task moving. Keep up the great job. Looking forward to the next episode. Now's a bad time to tell you that Selena has left the show.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah, we're definitely not letting Andrew come back. I mean, just listen to the show. It was a disaster.
No, I'm sure Selena will be listening to this episode and she will get your feedback. So thank you. And thank you, Marima and Pam, for having me and letting me storm in and host the show and correct you guys on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Thanks for coming back.
No problem.
Yeah, and thanks for your great pronunciation. I always appreciate that on a podcast.
And for anybody wondering, I'm probably going to be on the show once a month-ish, in case you're curious. So, but yeah, Selena and you two and Kyle do a great job with the show. I'm glad we're still doing it. And now weekly.
Yay. Everyone wins. Mm-hmm. Less Andrew and more shows. Yeah, that's what the people have been asking for.
I hate you. Okay.
No,
so.
I love you.
All right. What else should we plug, Marima?
If you want to correct me on more superhero stuff, you can listen to Hero Hype Podcast, which is our superhero podcast on Hypeable.
I love Hero Hype, truly.
You do not listen to it.
No, I do. And I love it because it's you and Danya and you're just laying it down week to week. You guys are nerdtastic. It's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I assume that you don't understand most of it because you don't watch any of these TV shows.
That's why I love it.
No.
I listen, I listen to a Google podcast about Google devices because I don't know them, but these nerds do. So, like, I feel like I'm learning something.
Thank you. Will be our new tagline. These nerds know about this. Andrew Sims.
That's
so
great.
I'm sure Selena would want us to plug Hypeable Hype on Twitter, which is the...
And Instagram.
And Instagram.
Yeah, we have that now. We're hip and cool and with the kids, as
I'm
they say.
Yes. I'm following that.
Snapchat will be next. No, it won't, but...
Who's running that down at Comic-Con?
Everyone.
Great. We should get a Hypeable Snapchat.
You know what?
Actually, that would be really funny for Comic-Con. I think it'd be fun.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
We're definitely not going to do it, but we should do it.
No, I enjoy Snapchatting. The problem is like, okay, you got to do stuff for Snapchat. Now you got to do something for Instagram, then Facebook. And there's just a million things you got to cover. It's hard.
We'll have a lot going on at Comic-Con, though. That's something else that we can plug. We'll be at Comic-Con. We'll all be at Comic-Con. Yeah.
And if you, the listener, will be at Comic-Con, we are planning on doing a informal, hypeable meetup at a bar during a happy hour early in the week. So more details about that will be available on Hypeable's site in very early July. Once we figure out
once the schedule's out.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. I'm Andrew.
I'm Pamela.
And I'm Arima.
We'll see you next week for episode 54. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.